Well, we are back. We are back, baby. After taking almost 13 months off, which I think is our COVID break, we are back by which seems to be a weird popular demand. So I'm surprised by the multiple requests for like multiple orders on this, but so here we go. Welcome to the TCFL Podcast Season 2. Episode 1. So joining me today is Zilla Farilla and the Commish. So let's talk some TCFL fantasy football. First, welcome back, gentlemen. Zilla, what have you been up to?
Hey, guys. This is great to be back. It's been too long already. We've had two whole requests from two different teams for this to come back. So it's very exciting. not much. Been up to quarantining, basically. So been working from home and dealing with kids and remote learning and all that fun stuff. Yeah. So
good stuff. So, and Commish, Factory Craig, let the people know what's up in your world.
Yeah, also not much going on here. I think it's funny that two people wanting a podcast counts as a popular demand or whatever. Big news here. Let's see. I got one of those sparkling water makers. Like, that's probably the biggest thing that's happened this year.
That is huge.
Do you want to talk about the other owner in this league selling your childhood home?
Yeah. We were talking about that pre-game here. So, yeah, talk about that a bit.
Yeah, and I think that went down now. I think that house has been sold. It already had, you know, left my family not that long ago, so it was kind of weird seeing a updated version of that house in pictures and stuff. So I don't know. It's weird. It's not my home anymore. I'll cry later.
A lot of base wars played in that house.
No doubt. I was just thinking of the game that we had played down there. Sweet. All right. Well, let's get into it. Honestly, the TCFL annual draft is, 9 days away? We have some, I think, pretty impactful and interesting rule changes proposed this year. I think just to like level set everybody and to recap, that I think the league has had like just few rule changes in its 17-year existence. I think the major one happened a couple of years ago. That was introducing FAB for free agent acquisitions. But this year, there's some interesting ones. So let's talk about them. So the first one, I think I wanted to start with the scoring reset. And I'll just give my 2 cents, and then I'm going to open it up for you guys. But I love it. I think it's long overdue. We've needed an IR spot. In fact, that's probably more roster talk than anything. But I think we do need the IR spot for this year's COVID stuff. I saw you proposed a couple other things too to kind of get back to standard. Craig, do you want to describe what it is?
Yeah, sure. So basically, the like idea behind this is try to get us back to what maybe now is a bit more normal with fantasy football. I think most of our scoring rules have been in place. Well, all of our scoring rules have been in place since 2004.
Yep.
So, you know, now, you know, Yahoo's huge and ESPN's huge, and most people are using one of those for their league. So, you know, last year I kind of went and like just compared those rules to our rules, compared the default sleeper rules to what we had. I just kind of came up with a list of things that were pretty normal. So the IR spot is one of them. And that would be something that's like totally managed by sleeper. So it's not like there'd be any question on how it works or whatever. It's like you have a player who's out or who's actually on IR and they can be on this thing. And I think COVID-19 actually counts as that for this year as well.
Yep.
Otherwise you can't. Otherwise we're adding, it would add negative points for interceptions and fumbles lost, -1 for interception, -2 for fumbles.
Man, thanks for not adding that last year, because I had Jameis Winston, so that was
ouch.
That was something.
Yeah. And then field goals, longer field goals, 50-plus yards actually get 5 points, and 40-plus yards gets 4 points. I think now we are only...
Okay. All right. I got a bone to pick with you on that, because you've always wanted a league that kind of mimicked NFL rules. But now you're going to give kickers 4 points and 5 points? So you know, I'm going to let you stew on that a little bit, but what's the deal? Explain yourself.
That's a fair criticism.
That's all you got.
Ask that. We can talk about it later if you want. The other part of it, and it's probably like the biggest scoring change, is resetting our defensive scoring. Mm-hmm. And that's also adding in some negative points for giving up a lot of points and kind of making it a more even curve from 0 points where you're getting, or when you give up 0 points, you're getting 10 points down to giving up 14 to 20 points, you're getting 1 point, and then all the way up to giving up more than 35 points, you're losing 4 points.
Oh, okay. Yep.
So a bit of a more smooth curve there. Also, for interceptions and fumble recoveries, I think right now we're getting 1 point for those, upping those to two. They're kind of a big deal. The rest of it, I think we actually are doing block kicks, 2 points, and special team touchdowns, 6 points.
I don't see block kicks on the existing list, at least, as anything. Oh,
maybe that one is. So
that might be new.
Yeah. Again, like that, the interceptions, the fumble recoveries, they're all like big plays seem like they should be rewarded. It was kind of weird when we were just given like 1 point for an INT or something like that. So nice to have that change.
Yeah, it kind of balances out the points and rewards for some actual turnovers and kind of reduces the impact of less points.
Yeah, I think defenses were worth quite a bit in the previous scoring. Yeah, 14 points.
10 points for 1 to 6 points, which is a fairly big range. So.
Yep. Yep. Can we go back to the IR spot a little bit? I'm just looking out for Chris here myself. But, you know, say Lamar Jackson and Christian McCaffrey both go on the COVID IR list. Are you expecting Chris to put one of those guys on COVID IR and the other one he keeps on his bench?
Yeah, if they're worth keeping, I guess. One thing with this is like we're just trying to get a reset back to like normal or whatever. I think we could have additional discussions on like if we need something special for this year, like if we need a COVID IR spot or something like that, or if we need, I saw that Yahoo's actually doing by default 2 IR spots this year, which is new for them. And I'm sure that's in response to COVID. So, maybe there's something we could do if you know, people are pushing for it, but like, I don't know. The idea behind this is trying to get to like what, like the big sites consider normal or whatever. Which is why that field goal thing is in there too. Like you were saying, I really don't like, I want plays in our league to kind of mirror the NFL as much as possible in their value. So I don't know, maybe you could make an argument for making a long field goal also doesn't give up field position. So maybe it's worth more there. I don't know.
Yeah. That's a good point. So going back to the IR, so it's being proposed now, it will not be a keeper position. It would not be a drafted position. So it'd be like during the season, something happens, COVID or an injury or something, and you could place a player on that in that spot, but then you'd have to figure out what you're going to do at the end of the year with who you're going to keep. You couldn't, it's not a keeper position. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. It's meant for injuries. If you've got some like massive injury where you've got a guy that's, you know, starting the next season out or something like that, you know, you're going to have to decide if he's worth keeping, just like we always have.
But if they get suspended, it's not eligible for that. If they opt out, hold out, not eligible for that. Right. So it's only if they're injured and out or the COVID opt out.
Yeah. Yeah. The out designation actually will make them eligible. So that's the only like possible short-term thing that could make them eligible. Yeah. But the way the NFL uses that, usually out's pretty serious. Like,
yeah. You know. Is this the default with sleeper? How the eligible and ineligible set up?
So sleeper doesn't use IR by default. So, that is, it's not, they have more options than the other leagues. I think this is pretty similar to what Yahoo does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like you've done your research on what designation a player has to be capable to be in that spot. So I think I'm pretty comfortable with having at least one, and then we can determine if we need more later. If, like, you know, I just feel like what happens if, like, we have like a 49ers team or something like that, that acts like the St. Louis Cardinals, and they play, you know, a few games during the year and that's it. Like, what do you do with those guys? You know, St. Louis has played like six, seven, eight games this year, or everybody else has played like 25 just because they've run into health situations. I mean, I wonder if that'll happen in the NFL.
Yeah. I'm really curious how it'll go. I also think we need to be open to the possibility of, like, the season not finishing.
Yep.
Like, I mean, if things get bad, like, you know, it might not be a full season, or it could be like things are bad and they shorten it, and they're like, at some point during the year, they're like, we've got 3 more weeks and we're doing playoffs or something like that. I think we'll maybe have to make a call on how much season we need to actually
to be able to crown a winner. Yep.
Should probably make some proposals on that now, because, you know, people might vote based on how they're doing. You know, if we try and do it mid-season.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of like CBS leagues or ESPN or CBS or Yahoo are saying, like, if you do whatever, if you're able to get through 8 or 9 weeks, then, you know, then you can crown a champion, and then you got to figure out how to do that, whether it's best record and then all the tiebreakers or, you know, things like that. So I think we could definitely figure something out. But I don't know. I feel like it should be at least somewhere over 6 to 8 weeks. Otherwise, yeah. we call it a bust and start up next year again.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll definitely make a call before the season starts. I don't know if I'll just, like, put something out there and see what people think, or if we'll, like, put it to a vote or whatever, but we'll have something decided before the
executive
season starts.
Executive privilege, maybe.
Yeah, make an executive order. Hey, Eric, weren't you trying to argue that the IR spot was what you wanted it to be, keeper?
No, not me. No.
Oh, okay.
No,
I missed that.
I wanted to bring something up for you, though, Brian. You know that, the later topic, adding a flex and then changing the scoring system, that is going to shatter your record for most points in season, most points during a week, most points all time. So I mean, I'd think about that when you vote, but maybe you have an opportunity to set another record. I don't know.
Yeah, if we've changed all these leagues so many times, all the history is gone. So,
I have the history.
Oh, you do? Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I think we should start fresh now that we have a new scoring system. So we just crown the previous champion and just move on to now. So
it's the new era. Don't they do that in the NFL? Right. It's like the new era score.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
All right, very good.
By the way, on these scoring changes, we had to vote on them all. It's an all or nothing.
Yeah, for this one, it's just like, it actually, for all of these rules, it's going to be like a yes, I want this change, or a no, I don't, just to kind of avoid the, like, all the different possibilities in there.
Yeah.
So if I kind of highlighted in green all the, like, actual, like, changes to the rules in that rule change proposals document, so everybody can go, like, see, like, the official wording on what they're voting for before they place their vote.
So the first one would be IR. The second one would be scoring change. Oh. Those are separate, correct?
No, sorry. One thing. Like, roster and scoring rules reset, you're voting on those things all together as one.
Does that include flex too? Or, because we haven't discussed that yet, but.
Yeah, we pulled flex out into a separate thing. So, like, if you look at the document, there are four numbers on there. Those are the four things we're voting on. So roster and scoring rules reset is one, PPFD is two, removing the kicker is three, and then adding the flex spot is four.
Cool.
Why would IR and scoring be together? I think they should be separate. They don't really have anything to do with each other.
I mean,
to me, that's more like an executive privilege thing. You know, I think Craig should just implement it. There's no vote. Let's do it. We're going to need it this year for sure.
Yeah. The IR, you're saying?
Yeah, the IR part.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're probably right. I don't think anybody's going to resist that. Oh, that's why you put it in there, Craig. You want the scoring. So everybody's going to vote for the IR, so they also have to get scoring. Okay. It's like the adding on pork.
It's the pork.
Okay.
I see it. What else can we put in there?
The idea behind just like a rules reset, just to get back to, you know, a semblance of what is normal now. So that's why they're together. And I had the flex thing in there too, that generated a lot of discussion on its own. So it kind of seemed like it should be its own thing.
Yeah. We're going to save that one for last, but let's move on to the next one. So there was, you know, some discussion around half PPR, PPR, or points per first down or PPFD. First, I think we need to understand that it's not a combination of them. They're mutually exclusive. Like, it's not half PPR and point per first down. It's one of the three. It's not two of the three or all of them. So, I guess, so why don't you describe, I know that you sent out a couple articles on this, but, describe why you feel point per first down is a good alternative.
Sure. Yeah. So, PPR is kind of becoming like a lot more popular, and it just rubs me the wrong way. It seems ridiculous to award somebody for a catch, regardless of how valuable it actually is for their team. The only like benefit that comes from PPR is kind of like the rebalancing of positions, which also is a benefit of the point per first down, but the rebalancing kind of awards players that are just better players, guys who are getting those tough first downs, regardless of whether it's through a catch or a run. So PPR, you know, you catch a pass for -1 yards and you get the same amount of points as if you just got a 4-yard run. And that 4-yard run could have been for a first down too, same amount of points. Losing a yard or gaining 4 yards and a first down, same amount of points there. Pretty ridiculous to me. It also tends to reward kind of like the dink and dunk kind of play and, you know, guys getting outlet passes as the last option just to get some yardage or something like that. Mm-hmm. Not plays that are really helping their team all that much.
That won me a league last year with like Austin Eckler catching like 13 passes for like 16 yards in a game. That was kind of nice.
That's an exception for him, though. He actually was a pretty solid player last year.
Yeah.
But point per first down, I mean, getting a first down is a like meaningful thing that, you know, everybody's cheering for when they're watching a game, that the team is trying to do to get there, to get more downs, to get a touchdown. Like, it's now this like meaningful play where your guy gets it and it's like, not only are you cheering for your guy who got his point, but so are all the like fans of this actual team. Like, they're happy that happened.
Yep.
Unlike, you know, a 1-yard loss, you know, they're like, oh, awesome. So I think it's more and I think it has all the benefits of PPR and less of the negatives. It's still,
I really want to see how it works out. I think what's made it popular is the Scott Fishbowl. I think that's the first time that I've heard of anybody doing points per first down. And I think they only do half actually for first down. So you're cool sticking with the full and see how it goes. We can always ratchet it back or do whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I like the full. It's a meaningful thing. First down. Yeah. Give it a point.
Yeah. My only nit to pick with it is, you know, for those of us that might look at sites or multiple sites, like, there's nothing that's going to help with that scoring system for rankings or for, you know, players that you should target or not target. So that could be impactful to people that rely on other sites for rankings and stuff.
Yeah, it certainly could be.
But I do want to try it. Brian, anything to add on that one?
Yeah, I guess just to play devil's advocate a little bit, you know, this would reward someone like Leroy Horde over like a Robert Smith. You know what I mean? And so like you're going to have those guys that get 1 or 2 yards at a crack and they're going to get rewarded for a point. And you got guys doing, you know, 8, 9 yards and they don't even get a point. Yeah. That said, you have that with touchdowns too, right? So, true. You know, you have kind of those short yardage backs that are going to get that. This is a default setting, I'm guessing, or it's a setting we can set in sleeper, right? I'm assuming, otherwise you wouldn't propose it.
Oh, yeah. No, hey. There's no, I'm not going to get out the USA Today and go through all the lineups like I did.
Freaking 1998, yes.
Well, even that wouldn't have first downs in it, you know, by players. So you wouldn't, there's no way to know. You know?
Funny. Yeah. Good point.
Even if you look at a box score, you know, during a game or something, you're not going to see who got the first down and stuff. So to track the score alive, you are going to have to look at, you know, kind of our scoring, which is fine. Yeah. But you don't see if they got, that's not a stat that's tracked very closely.
Yep.
To your, I like the Robert Smith reference. Like, I can't wait to hear what Ben thinks of that.
I was going to say to the Leroy Horde comment. I mean, do quarterbacks get a? I mean, quarterbacks are already valued pretty high in this league, but now you have ones like Cam Newton or somebody that might, you know, plunge for first downs, or Kyler Murray, mm-hmm. who will, you know, run quite a bit, that, or Lamar Jackson, that will have quite a few first downs on the year. So I'm kind of curious to mm-hmm. see how that works out.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of that, is it only for, it's only for rushing and receiving. It's not for like a quarterback getting a passing for a first down, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that's talked out. Let's go on to kicker. I think this will be pretty quick. I think we're all on the same page. I'm not a huge fan of kickers, but I do believe they play. If you look at like the historical scoring in the NFL leaders, I don't know how many of the top 10 are kickers, but it's a lot of them. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely an impactful position. I think we should probably keep them. I know there's a huge ban, the kickers movement. They are kind of, you can't really predict what's going to happen with kickers as much as you might be able to predict with yardage or things for wide receivers and running backs and quarterback passing yards. But I don't know. Any additional thoughts on kickers? I'm inclined to keep them.
Yeah, I am too. I don't feel strongly about this one. Like, if somebody really felt strongly about getting rid of kickers, maybe I could be talked into it. I get the idea of kind of reducing the randomness. At the same time, I think the randomness of NFL kickers is is a big part of the game. I mean, as Vikings fans, I think we know that really well.
Stop. So. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, we could honestly, if you wanted to, at some point, I think the proposal might be to get rid of kickers and out of flex or something like that, you know, which would at least keep the starting lineups similar in numbers, but add more of a skill position player instead. And that's just off the top of my head, but that kind of leads us into the next one. I think we're done with kickers. The next one, I think, may cause some conversation, but the proposal is to add a flex spot, so running back, wide receiver, tight end, as both a starting roster position and potentially a keeper at some point. I think you had an asterisk by the rule proposal saying when we should implement this, but I love it. I've been trying to, I think for the past 2 or 3 years, trying to get a flex spot in. I think it's pretty much overdue. I think a lot of different leagues, every industry mock that I do or look at always has a flex spot with it. And some people are even moving to super flex, which adds a quarterback, which kind of makes sense sometimes for a 12 team league. But Brian, your thoughts on what you want to see the flex spot be, when you want it implemented, and when you want it to be a keeper, if you want it to be a keeper.
Yeah, I guess I would say that first, that I've always kind of enjoyed the old schoolness of our league. It's kind of been fun over the years to have standard, you know, 6 points for a passing touchdown, which is like so different in some of the, you know, the non-PPR, the kind of this, the standard roster. I've always enjoyed that. That said, we're kind of changing all that, and I think it's time for a change. So I do, I am supportive of a flex. I think what's proposed would be good, running back, wide receiver, tight end, flex. And having it as a keeper, I think would be good too. I think we, everybody enjoys the fact that it's a keeper league, and some people want to keep even more than what we do, mm-hmm. including you guys, I think, have a full dynasty. But I think that adding the flex spot and adding a keeper spot would be pretty fun. I would be in support of that. I don't know when that would be. I guess I would suggest, why not just start it next year with the keeper, you know, start the roster spot and then start the keeper next year would make some sense. So those are my thoughts.
Yeah, I think I'm in favor of adding the flex spot this year, even though I don't have great draft picks, and then adding as a keeper for next year as well. I know there's some differing opinions. Webb Bandit says one that he doesn't really want it, the keeper implemented until the year after, which kind of makes sense. I mean, he and I are fairly avid draft pick traders. I think I was telling the commish before we started the podcast that I have, of my 7 draft picks, I have only 3 of my originals. Like, I've traded away 4 of my draft picks, and that was prior to any of this conversation. So, you know, selfishly thinking, before I traded away Austin Eckler over this past weekend, like, I would have wanted the flex to be implemented and the keeper implemented like this year so that I could have kept Eckler, Fournette, and Saquon Barkley, but that was super selfish. I do think it makes sense to understand that you're drafting for an additional position for this year as a flex. I mean, there's lots of opportunity to pick up people during the year too, and then add it as a keeper next year. I think it's a slow move toward. I would keep as many positions as a dynasty roster, honestly. But that's us for a lot more hardcore people with, like, you know, 25 to 30 roster spots. So I'm not in any of those leagues. But Craig, thoughts?
Yeah. So first of all, just to like make it clear on what we'd vote on, like right now. So based on discussion, it kind of seemed like a lot of people were pretty like cool with adding this spot and adding it as a keeper. But as you guys are kind of saying, like, the timing of it maybe isn't as there isn't as much consensus around that. Yeah. So we would vote on adding the spot and adding it as a keeper. That would be what we vote on. We're yes or no. And then we'll have an additional vote where we just go with whatever the high vote total is to determine when best to do it. So, okay. You know, just go ahead and do it this year. Add the spot, add the keeper for next year, or add the spot this year. Don't add the keeper until the year after. Maybe just not add it till the next year. I don't know. We'd have to figure out what the options are. But
okay, go ahead.
I like this. You know, I always have been a more of a fan of adding a third wide receiver, just because like. There aren't a ton of teams in the NFL that have like 3 meaningful running backs. But I've kind of come around to this just because one, it's becoming more normal. And two, there's a lot more like variety in what NFL players do. Like, you know, there's wide receivers who run, they're running backs who line up as wide receivers. There's all sorts of stuff like that now. So having a flex makes a bit more sense.
Yep. And I can see, you know, we just had a flurry of trading activity in the last like 3 or 4 days. I can see adding this as a flex spot and a keeper flex spot. Like, it gives so much more opportunity for people just to make moves, because now you have that flexibility in your lineup to you know, if you've got 4 great running backs or 4 great wide receivers, trade them off. You know, have somebody else benefit on their team, and you can benefit on yours for draft pick or upgrades or whatever. So I think it's a great idea, and I will, not to tip my hand, be voting for it.
Hey, Craig, just remind us the rules on how these would have to pass. What do the votes have to be?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. Okay, so we need a three-quarters majority to pass. If somebody doesn't vote or chooses not to vote, it would be out of the people who voted. So we don't necessarily need 9 votes to pass everything, but if everybody does vote, that's what we would need.
Perfect.
And also that's
all right. So when are the polls coming out?
I'll try to get this up today so that people can check out this lovely podcast and then go place their vote.
There you go. I know I have somebody tapping their fingers already waiting to listen. So. I gotta get her edited a note.
That's right. Hear all this crazy groundbreaking analysis.
Two people.
It's all right. It's more than zero.
All right. Too.
Anything else, gents? Otherwise, I'm going to wrap this up.
Do you want to touch on the Timberwolves at all? Or
number one pick. Too bad it's not Zion Williamson.
Well, just to make the comment that the time the Timberwolves get the number one pick, there's not a clear number one. Makes sense.
Exactly. Yeah. It's so 2020. I mean,
All right. It's good to be back.
Yeah. Thanks for doing the pod. I'll get her edited out and hopefully everybody enjoys it. Thanks, Ashley.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, well, there you have it. Please remember to vote on the polls when they come out. Get involved. It only takes a minute or two, and it just makes it more fun. So, also, just a plug of my own, just listen to the ITL Fantasy Football Podcast, especially Mock Draft 12.0. I've been in probably 7 of their mocks. 12.0 should be released today if you just search ITL Fantasy Football on the Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, Google, whatever. You'll find it, but you can hear me. There's truly draft from the 11th spot, Superflex PPR League. So much fun. So anyway, follow the podcast on Twitter, at the TCF podcast. Also our guest today, Aftoff Brian and at McGregor Z, McCraigorz on Twitter. And I'm at Aftoff. So, looking forward to the season. Episode 2 of season 2 will be coming out. I think it'll be the second annual award show with Zilla Farilla and Wet Bandits. So stay tuned. Take care, everybody. Bye. All right, well, there you go. That is episode 2 of season 2 of the TCFL Reboot Podcast. Hope you're enjoying the reboot. Thanks for joining us, and you can reach Brian at Toft Brian on Twitter, and I'm at Eric Toft on Twitter. Looking forward to the season. Please get your votes in for the polls if you haven't already. Please also get your keepers in, because the season starts September 10th, and we're doing our draft on Sunday. So here we go. Season upon us, and I look forward to it. All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.